Finally, there's been a changing of the guard of the Australian Academy of Science with a new president, Professor Sam Berkovic from the University of Melbourne. His area of expertise, epilepsy.
Epilepsy is a not uncommon condition. About 2% of us will get it at some stage in our lives. And it is due to a dysfunction of the normal regulation of the way brain cells work. Our brain is made up of billions of cells. They talk to each other in a very regulated way to allow us to carry on our actions, have our thoughts, have our memories. And an epileptic seizure represents a dysfunction of that, where the wiring basically misfires and you get discharges in the brain that are not normal. And the expression of the seizure depends on which part of the brain is affected by this. The causes of epilepsy are still being sorted out. We know you can get epilepsy after a head injury or after a stroke, but we also know that in most cases, the cause is not that apparent. The work we did helped reinforce the idea that much of it was genetic. And we were successful in pinning down some of the genetic causes of that. And importantly, particular genes that regulate the flow of ions in and out of brain cells were found to be very important. And that was sort of the fundamental discovery we made.
And does that mean that there are regular available treatments for most people?
Yes. Most people with epilepsy, thankfully, can be controlled by current therapies. But there are about a third that remain challenging to treat. And we're hoping that the genetic discoveries will lead to novel ways of dealing with this. And to some extent, that's happening. Not as fast as I'd hoped, but it is happening.
Yes. And what was the German discovery way back? There was one discovery of a particular gene, was there not?
Yeah, so the first gene that we discovered was done in collaboration with my group in Melbourne, another neurologist, Professor Ingrid Scheffer, who was my PhD student at the time, colleagues in Adelaide. And this is well before the Human Genome Project. Now we know where all the genes are in our chromosomes. At that time, we only knew relatively few genes, but one of them had been very well characterised by a German scientist, Professor Steinlein. And it turned out that this particular family we studied had a change in that particular gene. So we linked up with her, and it all worked beautifully.
Wonderful. Now, way back in the Dark Ages, if you like, people who had these epileptic experiences were maligned in all sorts of terrible ways, weren't they?
Yeah, one of the problems as a doctor, and I'm a neurologist, I treat people with epilepsy, is the stigma with epilepsy, which is terrible. And it goes back a long way. Pretty well all the great religions advise people not to marry people with epilepsy, and that this is terrible. And that relates, in fact, to the genetic predisposition, when, in fact, many of the genetic causes of epilepsy are really pretty mild, so that should not apply. But you may be surprised to learn that as short as about 30 or 40 years ago, there were statutes in otherwise sensible countries that still said people with epilepsy shouldn't marry. It wasn't enforced, but it shows how these terrible prejudices go on. And certainly when I started this work, it was clear to me that genetics was a bit of a no-go area. It was hard to talk about it. We were discouraged from talking about it, and we did, and I think we've changed that perception, and it's led to some fundamental discoveries.
It's another example of the ways in which science, even though it might seem at first to be really basic science, following a line because it's interesting. I remember Howard Florey. We did a portrait of him, the man behind all sorts of amazing discoveries and the setting up of this very campus where we're sitting, the Australian National University. He said, if you think I'm doing this for the public good, no, I'm interested in the science. It's a wonderful challenge. That's why I'm doing it. And of course, he was to some extent tongue-in-cheek. But the good that the science does, and this is swerving towards your role as the president of the Academy of Science, how do you get your own champions, if you like, in this rather turbulent society where people are looking at all sorts of things, cost of the wars, the cost of the shopping, all those immediate things that distract you. How do you get a champion of science, as your predecessor, Professor Jagadish, has asked we should try to find?
Look, I absolutely agree. The rewards and the benefits of science to society come slowly. It's not immediate gratification. It takes a long time. Women in Australia no longer get cervical cancer. And that's due to work of Ian Fraser
in Queensland
with the Gardasil vaccine, which is now just commonly accepted, really important. And there are many areas in science where we benefit from that. And that begins with fundamental science where one doesn't necessarily see the application of it. And we need to support science at all levels. And unfortunately, at the moment, with the funding situation, young people are not attracted to science in the way they should be. And the ones that get in there have a success rate of their grants of about 10%, which shoos them away. And it's terrible. Public money has to be well spent. Grants should be hard to get. But if you've got a success rate of 8 to 10%, you are going to give up. And that's what, sadly, many young people do. And you just can't then reinvent a bunch of bright young scientists. This is something.
Well, you keep writing grant applications, the same boring papers, you know, page after page after page after page, and you get a straight no. It's so demoralising.
It is. It is demoralising. And again, we shouldn't make using the public money easy, but it's way too hard now. And we are losing bright young people from the scientific community, and they're our investment in the future.
What can the Academy do about that?
Well, the Academy wants to promote science. We've got the Advance Australia report now, where we hope investment in science will go from the 1.67% that it is now, at least to the OECD average, which is 2.7%. We need more money for funding. We need to strengthen our funding agencies, the ARC, the NHNMRC, the MRFF. The money should be made available for science so that we can see the advances and get the next Wi-Fi and the next Gardasil and these things that are pearls of Australian science.
Professor Sam Berkovic, President-elect of the Australian Academy of Science.